trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
Welcome to Mission 66, your daily journey through God's Word, powered by Bible teacher Dr. Luis Seau and Transworld Radio. Today, we're in 1 Samuel, a book that emphasizes the importance of obedience, faith, and trusting God's plan over human ambition. Download your free study guide at mission66.org to follow along. Now, here's Esther Sisulu and our teacher, John Matthews.
Today's look through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel continues. Now, friend, have you ever wondered if it was possible to communicate with the dead? Well, the Bible actually has something to say about that. And our teacher, John Matthews, will take us to 1 Samuel chapter 28 with the theme, Talking to the Dead.
Thank you so much, Esther. Great to be with you and great to be with all of you listening wherever you are today. A very warm welcome to Mission 66. And it's just great to have your company as we continue our journey through this first book of Samuel. And here we are today. We've reached chapter 28. And you heard right. Today's subject matter reveals to us things that are veiled in mystery, and also gives us a hint as to how little we really know about the spiritual world and battle around us. It's always been, or long been, a human desire to know what is beyond the veil of death. And because of that, there are those who've been attempting and have attempted to make contact with the departed to try and find answers. Well, King Saul of Israel was no exception. We want to know, first of all, if such a thing is possible. And then secondly, we want to know whether these things are encouraged by God. So here is chapter 28. Let's read. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." And David replied to Achish, saying, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." So this is a little background information from the previous chapter, in which King Saul, who'd been rejected by God, is trying to hunt down David and kill him before he has the chance to take the throne. So David is cunning, and he figures his best hope after being chased and hunted by Saul is to go over to the Philistines, even though they were enemies of Israel, and try to infiltrate their ranks. And by this, and as he does this successfully, he learns their strategies, their technologies. And David convinced the Philistine king Achish of his loyalty, so much so that he makes him his personal bodyguard. But now we go on to the rest of the chapter, and indeed our subject, talking with the dead. And this is verse 3 that says, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land." Remember, Samuel had been the main source of spiritual guidance for Israel as long as he was alive. And it was he who influenced Saul to get rid of the mediums and the necromancers. Why? Well, because the law of Moses said that consulting mediums and trying to communicate with the dead was forbidden by God. But let's see what happens here now in verse 4. "The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a medium at Endor. Maybe you've heard of the Witch of Endor. Well, she was known for her ability to contact the spirits of the dead. Now, God refused to have anything more to do with Saul because of his attempts against David's life. And so when Saul calls on him, there's silence. And so Saul, as a last resort, turns to a witch, trying to find answers for what he should do next. And verse 8 says that Saul disguised himself. He put on other garments, and he went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, Divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. And the woman said to him, Surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death? She doesn't know at this point that she's speaking to Saul himself. Verse 10, But Saul swore to her by the Lord, As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And then the woman said, Well, whom shall I bring up for you? And Saul replied, Bring up Samuel for me. Now what happens next in this Bible account has been the subject of plenty of speculation, which we can chat and discuss a little bit later with Esther about. But verse 12 says, When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, Why have you deceived me? You are Saul. And the king said to her, Do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, What is his appearance? And she said, An old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that this was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul replied, I am in great distress. The Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me. He answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it, and she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. Now that is the end of chapter 28, and I think it would be, well, it would be unwise to speculate about what is unseen beyond life here on earth, but to deal just with what is written in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this: "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed are for us and for our children, that we may do them."
Well, this is Mission 66, and wow, I have to say that I think we're dealing with one of the more mysterious episodes in the Bible today, John. And of course, I would love to hear what you think. But friend, I do encourage you to leave either a question or a comment based off of what you've heard today. We would love to interact with you and have this Mission 66 conversation together. So, John, was it really the prophet Samuel who appeared in this account?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Esther, isn't it? And do you know there are differing opinions about this? Some scholars believe it wasn't Samuel. Why do they think that? Well, there are several reasons. The first is that the Bible explicitly states in Leviticus, and indeed other places, that consulting the dead is forbidden. So the argument goes, well, if God prohibited consulting the dead, why would he then allow Samuel, who was this upright man, to be summoned by a witch? Another argument is that God evidently didn't want to respond to Saul's inquiries, refusing to answer him. So why would God then send an apparition of Samuel himself to deliver the answer? So for this reason, I think many suggest that it was actually an evil spirit masquerading as Samuel.
Okay, but everything that the spirit of Samuel said was true. So how do we reconcile that?
Yeah, it's a good point. And it's correct as well, but deceit is one of the hallmarks of the devil, and so too his followers within the realm of darkness. So there is absolutely no surprise whatsoever that this is convincing. And some point out that not everything Samuel supposedly prophesied literally came true, and we'll see that at the end of chapter 28. For example, Samuel says, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." Well, even though Saul and his three sons, including Jonathan, were to die, not all of Saul's sons died. There were other sons who were not with the army because they were young. And the Lord did deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines as predicted. But because of the missing sons who survived, not all the details of what is said here were fulfilled to the letter. And that is why some believe that it may have been an evil spirit, not Samuel. But look, we can't be dogmatic about that. I think the argument from this perspective is that the Bible never explicitly says that such manifestations are impossible. It only says they're forbidden. And I think, look, the ultimate truth about this, Esther, is that there are things in the Bible where we just don't know the full story. And there is very good reason for that. There is amazing wisdom in the Bible, and God is perfectly wise. So look, I've got no opinion about whether or not this was really Samuel coming back from the dead, but one thing I think is for sure, and that is the apparition of Samuel didn't say anything to Saul that he hadn't already said to him when he was alive. The only additional information was that Saul was about to die at the hands of the Philistines.
You know, this is really good, and I want us to stay here for just a little while, John, because I think it would be helpful to go back and see what Leviticus actually says about contacting the dead, because it has quite a bit to say about it.
Yeah, good idea. And the place that comes to mind immediately is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, which says, "If a person turns to mediums and necromancers, whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people." Now, a necromancer is somebody who tries to communicate with the dead. Leviticus has a lot more to say about sexual immorality, the practices of idolatry, all of which invite demonic interaction. And Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things, says Deuteronomy, is an abomination to the Lord. So that's explicit, isn't it? And so we here see Saul, a king who once followed God's ways, who knew the true God, but had then rejected God's instruction and fallen into this spiritual decline, and he reaches the lowest point of his life, seeking to communicate with the dead something that he knew was wrong. And you know, because Saul didn't nurture his relationship with God in the days that he lived, it meant he was not ready for death.
Yeah, quite tragic. And we're going to get to that. John, so now we know that it's forbidden, right? But do you think that communication with the dead is possible, although it's forbidden?
Some people try consulting wizards and fortune tellers, trying to gain insight into the future, Esther. And there are real witches and mediums who interact with demons, and they are to be avoided, absolutely avoided, because absolutely the devil knows some things. People get overawed, don't they, by witches who are able to predict some events ahead of time. But the devil doesn't know everything. And it's clear that God does not want us to be too curious about the future. Rather, we are to trust him and pray that he'll bring about his will and his purposes, whatever happens. You know, all of human history, Esther, is in his hands, past, present, and future. We should never go anywhere near opening those portals of demonic influence, because, yeah, it's just dangerous beyond words.
Well, John, something else that comes to mind is this idea that, you know, there are people that pray to saints. So what do you think about that? What knowledge can we get, or wisdom can we get from the Bible?
Yeah, look, there's absolutely no need whatsoever, Esther. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 is clear when it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." If our own understanding, or even lack of understanding, is drawing us to other sources of wisdom and insight other than God, we are on the wrong path. We are invited to pray in the name of Jesus. He is our mediator between God and mankind. Through faith in Jesus, we have access to the very throne room of God, his very Spirit in our hearts, living within us, who hears us, acts on our behalf. We don't just have a hotline to heaven. We have heaven within us. Our eternal life has begun once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. No need to worry about, what was it, praying to saints.
John, could it be said that people who try to consult the dead are actually just dealing with demons?
Yeah, that is implied. Whenever we go into territory that's forbidden in the Bible, we open ourselves to demonic interference and influence. And that is a dangerous slope. We can start believing the devil's lies rather than the Bible. And the Apostle Paul wrote that sometimes Satan comes not as a terrifying being or monster, but as an angel of light. Perhaps if he showed people his true appearance, I think we'd be so scared that we'd fall on our knees immediately and repent and have nothing to do with his cunning ways. But yet, so often, we get drawn in because we don't recognize them as his ways.
So I suppose then the real possibility is that many of these so-called contacts with the dead are in fact evil spirits that are disguising themselves as good spirits, or as people who once lived amongst us. I think some call them familiar
Absolutely,
spirits.
Absolutely, Esther, yes, because the Lord Jesus exposes Satan as the father of lies. and that he cannot do anything but kill, steal, destroy. Now, if we try to communicate with the dead, we are opening ourselves to all manner of deception. The Bible does not show a single case of anybody successfully communicating with the dead.
I know I've been asking quite a few questions about this, but I do have something else that I want to that I'd like you to answer, John, looking at verse 14 of chapter 28, as it seems to describe this figure of Samuel coming up from the ground. Now, there is this idea that when a righteous person dies, they go to heaven, you know, which is up above, is what we've been told. So why does it say here that Samuel is coming up from the ground? And we understand him to be a righteous person.
Well, in the Old Testament, Esther, all the dead are described as going to the ground, to the grave, or to Sheol, which is the abode of the dead. That is how ancient Hebrews described it. And except for the prophet Elijah, who was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, the idea of going up to heaven mostly appears in the New Testament. That's why, for instance, in verse 19, when Samuel says, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me," this "with me" doesn't necessarily indicate salvation or being in heaven. It simply means being among the dead. So the concept about eternal life, salvation, and eternal condemnation in hell, they only fully emerge in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus. And Jesus, we're told, is the exact representation of God the Father in bodily form. And he revealed much about what's going to happen in the future, but he didn't tell us everything, and he didn't set exact dates. So even after the coming of Jesus, we still don't know everything. And one of the last things that he told his disciples before he ascended before their very eyes back to heaven was, "It is not given unto you to know the times and the seasons, but," he says, "you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." What a promise that is. Power from the Spirit to reach people for Jesus Christ. That is life in a nutshell. And that is our mission and what we need to concentrate on today, because boy, does our world need to hear that and need to see Jesus as he really is.
Well, that most certainly has been so fascinating, just learning about this mysterious part of the Bible, but also, John, you helping us understand this a lot deeper. Friend, I would encourage you to stay with us just a while longer now as John shares our chapter summary.
Yeah, thanks, Esther. Well, today in the first book of Samuel, chapter 28, the topic was talking to the dead. And the key takeaway is clear: consult only God. I mean, that is an incredible three words, consult only God, because it begs the question, can we do that? And the incredible truth is that every single one of us, regardless of what we have done in our lives, can come to him directly through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the gift of his Holy Spirit, who comes to live in our hearts. When we genuinely ask God for forgiveness and we turn from our old way of life to a commitment of giving him our lives, giving him our yes. It's not us who does the changing, but it's us who needs to say yes. And then the Spirit transforms us beyond what we could imagine.
We absolutely appreciate the pleasure of your company, friend. Thank you for being here with us on Mission 66. And our study through Samuel will continue next time as we look at the account of Israel's king and, of course, the upcoming king, King David. Well, I'm Esther, and for John and our entire team, saying thank you for being here and God bless you.
As Mission 66 comes to a close, be sure to download your free study guide at mission66.org. Deepen your daily devotion with insights from each episode, and let John and Esther lead you through the scriptures. Get your study guide at mission66.org and be prepared for our next episode. There, you can also connect with us, ask questions, or donate to help Mission 66's worldwide outreach. Head to mission66.org. Mission 66 is made possible through Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.